Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found in the book of Acts, today reading in chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that took place at the time of Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some men from Cyprus and Cyrene who came to Antioch and also began to speak to the Greeks, preaching the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a large number of people believed and turned to the Lord. A report about this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go on to Antioch. When he arrived and saw God's grace, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts. He was a good man who was full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a large number of people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, they met with the church and taught a large number of people. It was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. This is our text. Dear people of God, in sports, you want the best players possible gathered onto one team to play to win. In business, it might be different, because in business, you might have two different locations. Do you want your best people all in one location? Or do you want to take your best people and split them up into two locations and have them help the weaker workers? If you take all your best workers and put them in one location, that is called the A team. That is the best you have. And they are to work together and show the others how to do the job well. Well, here in our text, that's what the Lord did. He took the best missionaries that there were, and he put them together on one team, this A team of missionaries. Now, this great team flowed from a tragedy, which good things often come from. We've been hearing stories here about Peter and John in Jerusalem. Peter and John in Jerusalem had healed that lame man, if you remember. And they took that opportunity to proclaim the saving name of Jesus to everyone. And Peter and John were untouchable. As much as the chief priests wanted to get rid of them, the Lord kept protecting them and getting them out of jail. But the other Christians were not so untouchable, and they had to learn that the hard way. The disciples had assigned 7 deacons to take care of the day-to-day operations of the now large church in Jerusalem. And one of those deacons, Stephen, had been stoned to death by the Pharisees, led by a man by the name of Saul, who would later become the great Apostle Paul. Well, after Stephen was stoned to death, a great persecution broke out against the Christians. For the non-Christians became emboldened, and they didn't go after Peter and John. They learned their lesson that they couldn't do that. They went after every other Christian, and so the Christians ran. But whenever Christians run, they always run with the gospel, and the word spreads. Now, you may notice that the devil has changed his tactics a bit against us. In our land, the devil has pretty much let us alone. We've not been persecuted like other Christians in other times. He's kind of let us be. And what has happened to the church? Our church, by just staying here, has begun to shrink. Now, persecution is not fun at all, but it does spread the word. So the Christians ran with the gospel. And like water thrown onto a grease fire, the Christians ran everywhere. They went to Phoenicia. They went to the land which is just straight north of Israel, the land of Tyre and Sidon. We're told that they went to Cyprus, which is the first big island out in the Mediterranean Sea, just off the coast of Phoenicia. They also went to Antioch, which is the city in the northwest corner of the Mediterranean Sea. And as they ran with the gospel. But they took this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah, only to Jews. Well, of course they did. Jesus being the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises would only make sense to Jews. However, men from Cyprus and Cyrene that would be Jews by religion, but Greek and African by culture, when they came to Antioch, they didn't just live among the Jews like the refugees from Jerusalem would have done. They lived among their own kind of people. And surprise, surprise, the non-Jews were interested in this new savior from sin. It worked. And they were extremely shocked. This was ground-shaking news that non-Jews were interested in the Israeli Messiah, the one promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord told Abraham that through him all nations on earth would be blessed. Well, here it is. And when the home church down in Jerusalem heard about what had happened, they could barely believe it. But they did believe it. And they also rejoiced. And we can tell that by who they sent to help the church. They sent Barnabas. Now, Barnabas wasn't this guy's real name. You can tell that by the bar on his name. You may remember that the term bar means son of. Just like Peter's real name was Simon Bar Jonas. That means Simon the son of Jonas. So this guy's name is Barnabas. And his name is even farther away from that, because his real name is Joseph. They just called him Barnabas because Barnabas means son of encouragement. And his father's name was not encouragement. This guy was just such a good guy, a positive man, always willing to help. And so they just called him son of encouragement. It's just a name that fit him. Well, Barnabas was also himself from the island of Cyprus. See, so he is the perfect guy to go to Antioch and to talk to this new group of Christians and encourage them, which is what he did. We read, when he arrived and saw God's grace, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts. So he had a two-part message. One, keep going. This is great. Do not worry about that chosen people garbage of the Pharisees and the chief priests. The Lord Jesus died for everyone. You tell the world, keep on going. And number two, remain true to the Lord. Now we heard that message from Jesus last week in John 15, where Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him is the one who bears much fruit. Because without me, you can do nothing. Remember where your success comes from. Without the Lord Jesus, you are not making disciples for the kingdom of God. You're just making disciples for yourselves. And what good is that? No, if the church is going to grow, it has to grow in accord with the word of God, not according to the itching ears of the world and the things they want to hear. It has to grow with the true law and gospel of the Lord. That is, the message that sinful man is lost and is doomed to destruction, but that the Lord has provided a way out from this hellfire. And that way is Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, born of Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, who died, and was raised on the third day for our justification. That's the message that saves sinners. Now, this field of harvest here in Antioch was too big and too daunting for Barnabas. Looking at Barnabas' history that we have in Scripture, he was a great encourager, but maybe he wasn't the best pastor or planner. Everyone has their own gifts, and Barnabas seems to know this about himself. So he went to get an expert in the things that were needed here. Barnabas says to himself, "I remember a guy who was good at this kind of thing, and he lives around here." And that was Saul. Saul was in Tarsus, which was further up into Turkey. He had been sent there by the church in Jerusalem because he got himself into a lot of trouble in Jerusalem. Saul was the Pharisee who was in charge when Stephen the deacon was stoned to death. And Saul really then invented the persecution of Christians, arresting them and having them killed. Then one day the Lord Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus and changed his heart and made Saul into the greatest missionary of all time. But Saul didn't immediately understand what his role was. See, the Lord doesn't tell us these things. The Lord doesn't assign us a job when we're little children. We have to figure that out for ourselves. And we are to bloom then in the field in which we're planted. We are to use whatever opportunities the Lord gives us to live our faith. So also Saul, he wasn't sure what he was to do. He just started preaching. And he went to Jerusalem, and he thought that his gift would be to convince his old Pharisee friends to believe in Jesus. Well, that didn't work at all. They only ended up hating him more and wanting to kill him. And when the church in Jerusalem caught wind of this plan, they made Saul sail away up to Tarsus, from where he was from, in order to save his neck. Barnabas now, in southern Turkey, remembered that Saul was up in that region. And so Barnabas went to Saul, whose name would soon change into his Greek name, Paul, and he convinced him to come to Antioch and talk to new Christians, not to those old Pharisees. And he did. And for a whole year, they met with the church and taught a large number of people. And in this year, they organized the church, and in this year, they also accumulated funds in order to send Saul and Barnabas out on the first great missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. Those missionary journeys sprung from this group of misfit Christians. That's what Christians can do. Christians who are not focused on their race and blood and rights. Rather, Christians who are focused on the Lord Jesus and his love for sinners. They can do great things in the kingdom. Jesus is important. Land and family ties, not so much. Jesus and his crucifixion and his resurrection, that's what's important. Let us never forget what we're doing here. The church is not a country club for high teas and funerals. Now, we can have those things, but we ought never forget that those things must be done to proclaim the saving name of Jesus Christ for us sinners. It was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. Now, we're not told who called them that. I believe it was the enemies of the church who first called them Christians. Just like it was the enemies of Luther who first called his followers Lutherans. In mockery, they said, ah, look at those foolish followers of Luther. So also here, look at those fools who follow Christ. And when the Christians heard that mockery, they said, yeah, we do. And they took pride in that insult. See, the name that the Christians had come up with for themselves was the term the Way. And that comes again from Jesus talking in the upper room, John 14, where Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Calling themselves the Way showed that they followed Jesus to the Father in heaven. It's wonderful. But that term doesn't mean anything to people who don't know what Jesus said. So it was a fine inside term, but it wasn't such a good term for outreach, to tell people quickly and clearly what we are. Christian is much better. We are Christians. We are people who believe in and who proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified and Him resurrected. So let's follow the A-team, Barnabas and Saul, and let's be Christians and proclaim Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.